Welcome to the New Zealand Motoring Podcast, brought to you by podcasts.co.nz.
Welcome to the New Zealand Motoring Podcast, number 007. I see you have written up there, David. Is that a subtle Bond?
We should have done the James Bond cast one.
We jumped the gun on that one, though.
I'm David Linklater, by the way.
I'm Damien O'Carroll, and with us we have our, I guess he qualifies now as a regular guest, seeing as it's the second time on, Cameron Officer.
Thank you. Do I have to, every time I'm on, do we have to mention James Bond? Because that's the last time I was on.
Cameron was with us for podcast number two, where we talked about James Bond cars.
Yes. I'm surprised and delighted you invited me back. Thank you.
In which order?
We're just surprised you came back, to be honest. But anyway.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, indeed. Let's just kick straight into it this week. Into the news. You have something.
I'm going to start off with something that a lot of people have been talking about, actually, which is Mercedes-Benz's ute. They've announced that they're going to build a ute, which is actually not that surprising, because Mercedes-Benz does a lot of light commercial vehicles.
Yeah, exactly.
But it seems to seems to surprise and excite people that they're going to do this pickup truck. I guess... It's more of an Australasian style pickup truck, isn't it?
It is. It's very much.
Is it quite low riding?
No. It's based on the Nissan Navara.
Oh, really?
It was going to be based on the Nissan Navara, yeah. And they are saying that it's aimed at markets like Australasia, South Africa, Latin America. So it is very much a traditional one-ton pickup truck.
They're hoping it will do for them what the Amarok's done for the Volkswagen.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
I wonder if Nissan have actually let slip that the all-new Navara is actually on the old Navara's platform.
I don't think they would have mentioned that in their meetings.
Possibly not, no.
Because this is something I didn't know, actually, but Mercedes-Benz and Nissan have had this alliance with commercial vehicles for quite a while in certain markets. I think it's been going for about 5 years. So the official term is expanding their cooperation to one-ton pickup trucks. I would say the Mercedes-Benz version will be substantially different.
I suspect a lot of people are probably thinking it'll be this very much luxurious Mercedes style vehicle, but I mean it'll be more in line with their vans and their light commercials. So it'll
they're saying it's going to be a workhorse, but it's also aimed at sort of this emerging market of people who buy double cab utes to use as lifestyle vehicles. So
people who buy Amaroks.
Yeah, your Amarok market, I suppose. That's right. I do look forward to the inevitable AMG version.
And yes. Absolutely. Matte paintwork absolutely. Isn't it funny though that when BMW, they as an April Fool's joke, they said they were going to build a ute. It'll prove interesting to see if the egg's going to be on their face. And
who's laughing now?
Well, that's right.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be good, and you know they certainly know it's a product of the Mercedes-Benz van division. Yeah. You know, van with a capital V. It's a separate company, obviously,
isn't it?
And they're rather good at light commercials. So I would say that it'll be a pretty good vehicle. Look forward to seeing
that
one.
Absolutely. Staying with the German side of things, Audi sent out a release the other day about their first batch of e-diesel, which is doesn't use mineral oil.
Is that e-diesel or
e-diesel?
E-diesel. Yorkshire.
It's refined Yorkshire. It's actually synthetic diesel created from carbon dioxide.
What?
And that doesn't make sense.
CO2 is...
I bet you can't explain it either.
No, I can't. I'm reading it now and I don't understand any of it. It's very, very clever. It uses high temperatures to get stuff out of the CO2 and it's turned into diesel.
So it's not actually recycled from anything. It's just, it's like not from plastics or anything like that. It's just...
Ask me these questions. It probably is.
It would have to be.
Yeah, it must be.
Proper e-fuel, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Recycled material.
Yeah. But it's all very, very, very clever. Of course, they're only producing a tiny amount. The plant is set to produce 3,000 litres over the coming months.
Oh, small beginnings, though.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. They can actually do it. But the best part, and this is showing my childish side, is that in the press release, they quote the Federal Minister of Education and Research, whose name is Professor Doctor, double title there, Professor Doctor, Joanna Wanker. But I suppose if you pronounce it in German, it would be what Johanna Wanker.
Yeah,
which is somehow worse
for the primary school children.
It is. There you go. But anyway, e-diesel, very, very clever. Would suggest to Audi that they keep the Federal Minister for Education and Research away from further releases.
She filled the first tank, didn't she?
She did fill the first. She put a few litres in the tank, but. Yeah. 5 litres.
Vanka.
Into her.
Sorry.
Just easily that me. They should just quietly keep the minister out of it because all the English-speaking countries in the world just quietly giggle at that rather than pay attention to it. Anyway, moving on.
I was going to say, we've had Mercedes news, we've had Audi news. It's a shame we don't have any BMW news.
That's right.
But we do.
Oh.
Because I've got something about a Mini.
Oh, that's
So, a concept offering from BMW, Mini Augmented Vision, which is basically a pair of glasses that you wear when you're driving your Mini.
Yes.
Which is not a good start, is it?
Which sounds like something that was engineered in Hamburg or something.
It's kind of like Google glasses for Mini, I suppose. So they're a pair of intelligent glasses that you put on and they establish a connection between the car and the glasses. And, of course, you know, you see things through your glasses when you're driving the car. So you can enter... I mean information provided by the vehicle.
So if you can't see through the glasses, they're not very good at being glasses.
So you can do things like operate the sat nav, you can enter a destination, you can transfer it to the vehicle, you can see navigation displays, there's a head-up display function. There's also augmented parking, so it will show you, you know, where the next available car parking space is and perhaps how to get into it.
Does it make your passengers look like the average person in a Mini ad because they'd all be Scandinavian and tall and blonde? Yes, and
that's true.
And you take the goggles off and you're depressed when they're just only ordinary people.
It can supply you with your SMS messages, which, you know, this is this modern obsession with being able to get your emails at all times.
Scrolling down.
In front of you while you're driving.
Trying to negotiate a particularly hard right-hand turn.
Oh, the Prince of Nigeria wants to give me $8 million.
Probably the most interesting and I think coolest feature is X-ray view.
Yes,
and it's not what you're thinking. You can't see people's underpants when you're walking along. You get a virtual view through parts of the vehicle. So presumably there are cameras in the A-pillar which project the image of what you're driving towards into your glasses. So basically it looks like your car's got no pillars. You can see, you get a 360 degree view.
That's
so
genuinely quite cool.
So that is pretty cool. It's just a concept. It was released at the Auto Shanghai show. But a neat idea, I think.
Yeah, a neat idea. I mean, great concept. Love that X-ray idea, all that. Payoff is you do have to look like a total knob while you're driving a Mini.
Well, mind you,
have you ever seen a person driving a Mini who's not wearing ridiculous glasses?
That's right. These are probably considerably smaller than some of the
Yeah, that's probably true. So there's that.
Remarkably understated.
Yeah, quite subtle. Yeah, have you got anything a bit more outrageous?
Mind you, I suppose, you know, you fast forward 5 years and there'll be windscreens that are doing this.
Absolutely.
Well,
Volvo's done, I think, a virtual A-pillar too.
And Jaguar and Range Rover did that a while back too, didn't they?
Sorry, Sorry, Jaguar. You and Range Rover was actually the Range Rover I was thinking of. They used to be together.
That's right. Jaguar did the virtual A-pillar and Range Rover did that sort of virtual bonnet thing where they had cameras around the bottom. So when you're off-road, it made it look like you were...
Just for the listeners, Damien is gesturing.
I'm gesturing, which makes it far more involving and you feel like you're actually looking through the bonnet of a Range Rover.
Yeah, but that is a technology that I think we'll see a lot more of
Absolutely.
In the years to come.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Speaking of Range Rovers... Let's move on to this last bit of news
Nice
here.
Nice segue, yes.
Nice. We're just jumping from piece to piece with precision this time, aren't we? StarTech is a company that's a arm of Brabus, German tuning company that does ridiculous things to Mercedes.
They do.
And StarTech is the name for their arm that does ridiculous and horrific things to brands that aren't Mercedes. And they've done something particularly nasty to the... latest Range Rover.
I disagree with the nasty aspect, but carry on.
Anyway, they have converted it into a ute.
Not in a tasteful way.
What's
not
wrong
in a
with
tasteful
that?
Way. Not in a tasteful way in the slightest. Say ute, it's like a double cab horror show, really.
That's it's kind of like a Range Rover with a dicky seat in the back.
It is. That horrible little Jap import that used to come in that had...
The X90?
No. It was a little boxy thing with a little...
Oh, it's a Toyota. Toyota BB.
I've got a photo that I put on the Facebook page.
I drove one of those.
I saw it being used for something sensible. I'm sorry to hear that. Huh? And there was a large dog sitting in the back of the tray, and it was...
I like the Toyota BB. Just as an aside.
The ute version.
Carry on.
Yeah. Anyway, they've done this to this Range Rover. And they've also done lots of other horrific things like vents and
it's kind of got the same silhouette as in Lamborghini LM001,
yes, exactly,
isn't it?
That's what
it's
called. Right. Very much so.
Yeah.
And the comedy part of it is they actually, in the press release, claim that there's a sensible sort of reason behind it and that certain territories in the world, making it into a ute classes it as a commercial vehicle.
Yeah,
therefore,
well, there you go.
it is cheaper to buy. However, they don't say what kind of horrific amount of money they charge you to do awful things to the Range Rover.
Probably cancelling out.
Easily cancelling out what would be cheaper.
It does also take away the sort of one of the key features of the Range Rover, which is that split tailgate, isn't it?
Yes.
Which is the whole thing about the Range Rover. One can go to picnics and sit on one's tailgate, or one's having cucumber sandwiches.
Well, one still could, but one would
look like a knob.
One would have to be dressed like Travis Pastrana.
Exactly. Yes. Anyway, we'll put photos of this particular awfulness up on the Facebook page, and you can be horrified.
I actually think it looks quite cool.
Yeah. Agree to disagree on that one.
Okay, should we talk about what we've been driving?
Let's talk about what we've been driving.
I have been driving something that's slightly smaller than a Range Rover, the Mazda CX-3.
So most things, but anyway.
This is actually a brand new vehicle for Mazda, sort of. And it's certainly a brand new segment. It's like a baby SUV, which is sort of one of the emerging segments, isn't it?
Wherever everyone wants to be, isn't it?
It is. And I think it's the fastest growing single vehicle segment in New Zealand. Yeah. So there's loads of these kinds of cars around now. Cars like Holden Trax and Ford EcoSport, both of which... Cameron made a face.
You know, Cameron's love of the EcoSport is well known.
So you could sort of think of it as a baby version of the CX-5, I suppose, which is a vehicle that a lot of people will know. What it actually is based on the Mazda 2. It's got exactly the same wheelbase. It's got exactly the same interior. But it's a really cool-looking little thing. They're doing it in quite a big range of models, actually. They're doing a 2-litre petrol engine, which is obviously a much larger engine than you get in the Mazda 2. It's the engine that's used in the Mazda 3, in fact, the base one. They're also doing a 1.5 diesel, which is actually quite interesting. It's got more torque than the 2.5 petrol that they have in some of their big cars. It's got 270 newton meters of torque. So that's sort of one of the hero models of the range. They do it in front-wheel drive and four-wheel drive. And the prices range from early 30s, 31,195, right through to 42,595 for an all-wheel drive diesel with everything, the limited model.
That's pretty good.
You've got to assume, I mean, on paper, this has got to be all conquering, right? This has got to be a very popular
model. I think so, because a lot of the cars in that segment, because it's such a new segment, they're a bit average. Trax has been a bit disappointing. It's sort of lifted its game a bit in the latest model because they've put that turbo engine
from, before that was
cruise.
The Ford EcoSport we've dissed covered at length on this podcast. Yeah. So this is really, I can't see it doing anything but making a huge impact. It's a really cool looking little thing. In fact, it almost makes some of the other new generation Mazdas look a bit old.
Absolutely. I mean, it's to me that if you sort of took a lot of the black plastic cladding off it and lowered it down a wee bit, it's actually a better looking hatch than a Mazda 2 is.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic.
It's quite Range Rover evoke-ish, actually. And that's a compliment. It's got a blacked out pillar at the back, so it's sort of got that floating roof.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of the Limiteds, the early shipment of Limiteds that they had for the media to drive at the launch, they had white leather interiors.
Whoa!
Which is we'll put a picture of that up on the website.
Wow, really? White leather?
Yeah, so big
good family car.
Yeah.
They did that in the 6, didn't they? They had white leather available.
Oh, wasn't a mistake then.
No.
They weren't ex Abu Dhabi cars or anything.
It was a case of if you want these, this is what you're getting to start with. But they also do it in black. But that early shipment here was white. That seems to be something the Japanese are quite into, the white leather.
Yes. A lot of them are doing it lately.
But let's not get bogged down in the white leather. No. So, I mean, the front-wheel drive petrol is actually a great car to drive. It's probably the driver's choice because the four-wheel drive ones are quite a bit heavier and quite a bit softer, but as a town car, you know, I think the all-wheel drives are probably better as a town car because they're a bit softer,
right?
You know, that the diesel is quite torquey. You have to sometimes work it quite hard. It's quite diesel-y. Damien and I actually
technical term.
Damien and I drove one down to Taupo for an event a couple of weeks ago, and it was a nice thing to drive on the open road when you're just cruising.
You wouldn't honestly have thought that it was a Mazda 2 sized car.
No, it feels bigger.
It feels a lot bigger.
And Mazda's argument is that it will compete with cars that are slightly bigger too. They sort of see it as a rival for something like a Nissan Qashqai as well.
Oh, okay.
Something like
that's quite a big car.
That might be stretching belief.
Yeah, it's quite a big car these days.
Yeah. they're very keen to distance them from the Mazda 2 too. They say it's in a completely new vehicle. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a Mazda 2 on stilts.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's got a bigger engine than a Mazda 2. It's got better spec. So, yeah, very good. I actually really like it. I can't see anything in that segment that's anywhere near as good, actually. So I think that will be a massive success.
I think the only thing that I've sort of driven would be over in the States is the Jeep Renegade. That would be something that's got probably slightly different appeal. It probably would appeal more to Mini buyers and things like that rather than that. But I mean, it will.
They but it's an character, price. Isn't it?
It's got heaps of character.
And so is the Mazda. It's really well built. Got a lot of character as well.
I suspect it may be a wee bit more expensive than the Mazda when it gets here, but they haven't announced pricing yet.
Yeah, I mean, the Mazda is by no means cheap. But once you start stepping up to the higher models, you get all that safety gear that the Mazda's so good at doing. You know, rear cross traffic alert and blind spot warning and all that stuff. So, quite an impressive little car.
Anyway, moving on. Something that that I drove recently, a French car. Had a lot of French cars.
Was that the end of your story?
Yeah, that's it.
Didn't catch the name of it.
No, they're all the same. Something fell off it. And,
didn't know what gear it wanted to be.
No, it was anyway, no, not fair. That was the Renault Clio RS, which is the littlest Renault that we get in New Zealand, and this is the hot version of it.
So RS, the Renault Sport, that's the brand for hot hatches, isn't it?
Absolutely. The Megane RS is a little nutcase that's a huge... Well, I mean, it's not something you drive around town every day in because it'll shake your fillings out of your head. But
it's one of those cars you nod sagely at it as it drives past. You think you that do. Person yeah. respects hot hatches.
I think anyone who knows about cars will sort of know and argue that RS is probably the premium brand for hot small cars.
Absolutely. Yeah. Unfortunately, this one doesn't quite live up to that expectation. I didn't believe. I mean, it's a great little car. It's a lot of fun, but I would hesitate to hang the RS name on it.
Well, what have they got wrong?
Oh, nothing necessarily wrong. It's nowhere near as mental and uncompromising as the Megane. I guess you could say it's a more user-friendly version for people who are perhaps not quite ready to go full mental.
It's the mainstream third album.
It is. It's a very nice little car.
There's actually... it's a five-door now, isn't it?
It is a five-door, which is another...
That's a big change.
That's a big red cross.
Which is another... Well, you mean it will actually sell now?
Yeah, now it will sell. I know. But, you know, for purists...
It's also an automatic.
There are stages of lunacy with it, though, because there's three different models.
There are. Which I must admit, I didn't actually realise at the start, and I've found out since.
There's a sport, a trophy. Yes.
Wait.
No, sorry, I've got them around the wrong way.
The trophy must be the best one, surely.
A cup and a trophy.
Sport cup and trophy, and they go up in levels. The cup's got the sporty chassis.
Yeah, and it's got shorter gearing too, I think.
Yes, and the trophy's the full-on.
But you can't get
everything. But not quite full-on.
But you still can't get anything in a manual. It's all automatic.
I don't believe so.
Well, it's a dual clutch.
It's a dual clutch manual. Okay. Pedals and everything. Right. It's quite good. It was a wee bit French in that it didn't really know what gear it wanted to be in at any given time and sort of seemed to think it knew better than you, and I'll change it.
Yeah.
You want to go for this?
You can crank it up though, because there's a what they call a Renault Sport mode, and then if there's a secret mode, if you put the gearbox into manual and then press the button again for a long time, you get race mode.
Really? Oh, that's cool. Easter eggs in cars, I like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't do what the Megane does, though, and bring up all the race monitors and everything on the dash.
It doesn't, but I think, and someone may correct me, but I'm pretty sure that the trophy has all that stuff.
Maybe I have to reassess my view of it then, because maybe the trophy sounds like it could well be full mental.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, I drove it as well, and it's probably the first RS Renault I've sort of walked away from and thought, meh.
Yeah. It was not...
Enjoyed it, but...
Yeah,
not
what sort of pricing are they though? That's the key.
Cup is $45,990, so it's an expensive car, and I think probably you may argue with me, but I think probably the best car in that segment is the Fiesta ST.
I'd agree with you.
$10,000
cheaper. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Just
throws into stark relief what a good car that is, actually, the Fiesta, isn't it? Really?
Although it doesn't, you know, the Fiesta, it's not a great status symbol, I suppose, because people look and see it's a Fiesta, whereas you look at the Reno and you go, it looks fantastic.
Got all the proper stuff, but not bad. Not a bad car, but certainly not something I would buy over a Fiesta ST, I suppose.
No. Oh, I've been driving something a lot more growing up, actually. I don't know whether to say Subaru or Subaru. And someone asked me this morning, they said, what's correct? And I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you're a Kiwi, it's probably still a Subaru.
It's a Subaru. Yeah. Everywhere else in the world, it's a Subaru.
Well, I don't know. I many, many years ago, heard a story that that's actually the Australian pronunciation.
Subaru.
I've heard that story too. And the story was that they tried to change that so they could share advertising, TV advertising and stuff, but I don't know whether that's true or not.
Yeah. From what I understand, the Japanese pronunciation is actually closer to Subaru.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
But anyway. Because we all got told about 5 years ago, oh, there's no emphasis, it's just Subaru. Yes. Subaru. Subaru. Yeah. That's a lie.
Hey, let's not get bogged down. So, new legacy, really familiar name. What's different about this one is that we've already had a new Outback, so this is obviously based on the same platform, but there's now no Legacy Wagon, which is
just a bit shocking, really, isn't it?
Well,
your surfboards aren't going
to
look good.
Kiwis and wagons, though, we all like to think that we love wagons, but actually we've moved on. Most people buy SUVs now who want a wagon, and so Subaru have got the, or Subaru, have got the Outback now. And
which they call an SUV.
They do call it. They're very firm on it being an SUV.
They don't just call it an SUV, they insist.
They grab you by the throat and insist you call it an SUV.
But funnily enough, though, sorry to sidetrack you on your legacy, but I parked the Outback in a supermarket car park a few weeks back now.
What were you thinking?
I looked like everybody else. And I parked next to a sort of 1992-ish Nissan Patrol.
Yeah.
Same roofline.
Yeah.
So really,
of course, the Outback has got that big sort of roof rack on top of it now, haven't they?
Yeah, that's
to make
huge.
It look taller.
Yeah,
and it's got a solid side to it. I'm gesticulating again. I don't know why. Yeah. It's got a solid side on the roof rack, so it makes it look
enormous,
way taller.
Yeah. But I thought, I can see what they mean. Yeah. But it's still a wagon. Yeah. Still a wagon.
It is still a wagon. It's a jacked up legacy wagon, even though there's no. So globally, there's no legacy wagon anymore. No. But we've already talked about that. I do want to talk about is a legacy sedan.
Sorry.
So, medium and large sedans are not really a going concern in New Zealand. There's only really one that sells in any numbers, and that's the Holden Commodore. So, this is a really tiny market that's shrinking even a bit further. But Subaru New Zealand only talking about selling 150 of these a year.
Wow.
And they reckon that in the future, this is their argument, as those big Aussie cars disappear, which they will have by the end of 2017, people who are looking for an alternative, and remember there are 3,000 Commodores sold last year.
Yes. So a lot of people.
There are still people out there buying big cars, and the Legacy is a big car. It's almost as big as a Commodore now.
Yeah.
They reckon that rather than going to a front-wheel drive car, and people who buy those kinds of things are legendary for their hatred of front-wheel drive cars, which is why you probably hasn't seen a Toyota Orion on the road for ever. They reckon that an all-wheel drive Subaru is probably a good alternative for those people, and they've probably got a point.
What about the Taurus that will replace the Falcon? There's an all-wheel drive version of that in the States. I wonder if they'll bring that here.
And I wouldn't be... I mean, I don't know too much about the GM side of things either with the replacement, but it would be likely that there'd be an all-wheel drive one there.
But, I mean, that's a good argument of Subaru's point. I can see what they mean.
I guess they're also banking on the fact that Subaru's got quite a heritage in New Zealand.
Yep,
people love the brand, and they're probably... trust a Subaru more than a Chinese Holden or a funny Ford.
Yeah,
but anyway,
funny Ford.
Well, who knows where it's going to come from? You know, it'll be a version of something that will be quite alien to people.
Yes.
Mind you, people stopped buying Falcons a long time ago, didn't they?
They did.
So, I mean, the Legacy covers both those sort of medium and large bases, really, because there's a four-cylinder one. Which is $39,990. So that is a really good price.
Wow.
That's a lot of car for that.
That's a budget price for Subaru.
Yeah. It's got EyeSight, that really clever active safety system that some Subarus have got. So it's quite, fully specced. However, that's kind of a minor concern for Subaru New Zealand. They don't reckon all the sales action is going to be with that model. It's going to be with the big one, which is the 3.6 RS.
RS?
Yeah. Mm. It's got a big RS badge on the back because... I think it was two generations ago they had a 3-litre RS legacy sedan and wagon probably at that time.
Yeah.
And that was quite a popular car.
Yeah, that introduced the SI drive system, didn't it? The Sport Sharp.
I think it might have even been earlier than that.
Was it even earlier than that?
Yeah. But anyway, that's the big one. So that's got the 3.6-litre engine and all the bells and whistles. Lineartronic on both models. which is CVT, which might be a potential sticking point for people who are coming out of the Commodores.
Although, in fairness,
it's the best application.
They have certainly nailed it.
Aren't you sick of saying that?
I know.
Apologist.
It's quite good for CVT. Well, it is. It does drive well.
I think, not wanting to belittle your average person coming out of a Commodore, but they probably wouldn't
I'm about to.
They probably wouldn't realise that it is actually a CVT the way it behaves.
That's actually true. If you drive it hard, it does behave a lot like a conventional transmission, particularly in sport mode. It sort of steps up and down like it's got gears.
So the
3.6 RS, it's got 191 kilowatts, 350 newton metres. So it's quite a powerful car.
That's quite good.
Really good to drive. We had a drive in the South Island, actually, up to Kaikoura last week. And it was really good. It's a big car. I mean, it's quite a conservative looking car.
Is it Mazda 6 sized?
A Mazda 6 is big too.
They're both
getting on towards Commodore size.
It's quite an American looking car, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Increasingly
And
so.
That's one of the major markets for it, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've stopped flirting around with these pseudo off-road versions. If you remember the previous Lexus, they did a 3.6 and a 2.5X version.
Yes.
Which was essentially a four-wheel drive one, but jacked up like an Outback.
And, it was essentially an Outback sedan.
It was.
Without the black cladding and things.
Yeah.
Which they've done for a long time in the States.
But they've got the XV that kind of fills. I know it's not a sedan, but it fills.
Yeah,
kind
just
of
the idea of the sedan was quite weird.
Yeah.
To us,
it was very odd. Yeah.
But apparently it's quite popular in markets like sort of very harsh climate places like
South America or.
Yeah, in Canada, you know, places where you're driving around in snow all the time, I guess people...
They like their sedans.
They like sedans, but they want a bit of durability and ground clearance and what have you.
They like their sedans, but they like them slightly awkward and tall and ungainly looking.
So this is sort of a complete turnaround from that. It's really being pitched as a real driver's car. You know, it's quite quick, it's all-wheel drive, it's loaded with equipment. And actually, the 3.6 RS is $49,990, which is again, a lot
that's,
of car for
a lot of car, yeah.
So I don't think they'll have any trouble at all selling 150 of them.
No.
Obviously, they've got ambitions to do a bit better as time goes on. But they're essentially selling as many Outbacks a month as they are Legacies a year. So, you know, it's still all about SUVs. And Subaru New Zealand is very much an SUV company now, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The XV and the Outback and the Forester. There's just new Forester come out as well.
They're all about cars that they call SUVs.
Yes.
Or if you want a station wagon, get a Skoda Octavia or a Scout.
It's an SUV.
I think you'll find that's an SUV.
There's
glides
of
plastic
on it.
Gumboots on.
So anyway, I was going to talk about something else, but I think we'll leave that. I was going to talk about driving Maseratis at Hampton Downs, which I got to do.
Oh, recently. So you're just going to tease people with
I'm
that?
I'm going to tease that because I've decided that's better for our V8 podcast that also tease them with, which will be our next podcast. Well, it was never a secret. I think we've actually... I've teased it for a while now that we're going to do
you're
a
the Oliver Stone of every podcast. You're just throwing these out in the front.
So because we've waffled on a bit, so we'll move on to our feature now.
All right,
and we'll do the Maseratis as part of our upcoming V8 podcast special edition.
All right, so for our feature this time around, we do what's going to become a tradition probably when we have Cameron as a guest.
Some weird
descend into some darkly nerdy place where we talk about personal obsessions. We thought it would be fun to do a $500,000 garage, which is actually something I think we've all done professionally for magazines and newspapers and things. They're quite popular stories always. We basically gave ourselves
I do it to get to sleep at night.
Yeah. We've basically all given ourselves a pretend $500,000 and we've created our dream garages each. And I think since we have a guest, it should be guests first. So where you go, Cameron.
All right.
How have you spent your money?
Oh, how have I spent the money? Well, I tell you, it's got five bays, this garage.
Only five?
Only five.
You've been quite restrained.
I'm quite a practical person by nature. So a couple of these are boringly practical.
You know what the point of the game is, don't you?
What, to have a 500,000?
Like a Corolla. And
I've got 16
Corollas.
I couldn't decide on the colour.
Yeah. Well, you're mocking the Toyota aspect, but my first one is actually... a Land Cruiser 70 Series LX.
Oh, wagon.
Yes.
But now that's 80. Now, I hope so. If you're listening, you've got to have a calculator with you because you've got to tote up these figures. $82,280 for that.
Is that how much they are?
That's a five door one, not the troop carrier. That's the troop carrier is about 75.
So, just for the benefit of listeners who might not know what a 70 Series is, that's sort of the old one. It dates back to about 1984, I think.
It's not the bloated Land Cruiser. No, it's the other strain of Land Cruiser. Which is
Toyota's version of the Defender.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah, it is. There's no creature comforts really. It's quite basic.
It's got the new V8 turbo diesel, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean it's pretty. It's an awesome vehicle.
Oh, that's a good choice. Yes, sorry, carry on.
So that's and Toyota have very weirdly specific pricing, $82,280. But of course, I've thrown on some Mickey Thompson Baja four-wheel drive tires, $5,000. Worn winch, of course, $2,000. Safari snorkel, $600. Some suspension for about $4,000. So look, let's call it $100,000. That's $100,000 Toyota
70 Series.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Could I just say,
but there's a VX that's about 150.
That's true. Yeah, and this is much cooler.
Yeah.
But I think depending on where you're going to drive it, you're going to either look awesome or like a total knob.
Yes. And one door of my garage is going to have to be super tall because it's going to be so hot, so tall. So that's number one. So we're up to $100,000.
Fantastic.
I just did say I'm intensely practical, and I will continue that theme, but slightly better. Mercedes-Benz C63 AMG S Edition 1.
Is that supposed to be practical?
Yes. That's a wagon.
Okay.
It's a wagon. Now I know that the standard, there's nothing standard about the car, but a C63 AMG estate is $167,990.
Yes.
Now I don't know how much you pay for stickers and baubles for the Edition 1.
I think it's not much.
We're talking a few $1,000.
Yeah, I think it's around $5,000. I might be wrong.
Well, look, I've taken it up to, I've undervalued that then. I've taken it up to about $180,000. So anyway, that's the practical side's done. That's that. Now,
I love that you think that's the practical side. Yeah, yes. Okay, carry on.
So we've got Toyota Land Cruiser, Mercedes Benz, all very, Audi S1.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
60,000 New Zealand dollars.
Yep.
This is the thing I changed on the way here because I saw one. I thought, of course.
You weren't writing and driving, were you?
No. My writing does look like that, but no one stopped by this stage. Dodge Challenger.
Oh yes.
Yeah,
but you've got money left in your budget for that.
Yeah, I'm only up to what have I got? 280,000 plus 140,000.
Oh, okay.
So what's that? Lots of money.
Some money, yes.
I'm still going.
Yeah, okay. Carry on.
My last car is a nine. Now this is now.
Just to rewind. Are we talking a brand new Dodge Challenger?
Yes. Yeah. One of the new ones.
So what does one of those cost?
That's about $80,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now we did, Damien and I did have a quick sort of text conversation about
no, this was cars. Supposed to be secret.
Not about cars. About the because we wanted to make it new cars, obviously.
Yeah.
And of course, we all love our old cars. And so I thought, well, if I had $500,000 burning a hole, I couldn't help but go to an online auction site and look for something interesting for me.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, we sort of decided this is the rule. It has to be a real auction.
Yes.
We can't just dream up a Lotus Cortina or something of our dreams.
We probably should have mentioned that at the start.
Yes, that's right.
If
there was no stipulation. They had to be new.
We did stipulate that if it was used, you had to find proof.
Of what it's going for.
So this is what. Yeah.
And so because I'm a bit of a bogan at heart, I found a 1968 Ford Falcon XR Ute.
Oh, nice. Yep.
For $22,000 on trade. Auction number 876627372.
Okay.
If you want to go and find it. And I think, bits and pieces of that is $10,000. Now, I'm only at
$453,000. Wow.
So, you did say it's a $500,000 garage.
I did.
Marine carpeting, framed vintage brochures and posters, snap-on tool chest and trolley jack, which will never be used, let's face it, but still, they look good. Vintage Gulf oil rubbish bin, Yamaha hi-fi system brings me up. Yeah, it's about $40,000-ish, so I guess I'm about $490,000.
I'm deeply ashamed that you've been so thorough.
I did not think of accessorising.
Oh, yes, you've got to accessorise the garage.
No.
So there you go, $490,000-something.
Fantastic.
That's quite good.
I guess with all of our cars, we'll pop them all up on the website, won't we, pictures of them?
Yeah, I'll grab lists off each of you.
You will have to prove that car exists, because you have to find a picture.
I'll race over it.
All right, well, shall I go next?
I think you should.
All right, so if there's any groans while I'm doing this, I will put down the microphone and walk away. I'm just saying.
I bet there's a Fiat in there.
Hey, shut up. There might be. So, I mean, the big question is not should you have a Porsche 911, it's what kind of
Porsche 911. I looked at those, but they're really expensive.
They are quite expensive. They take a big chunk of your $500,000.
And really I did have, I actually was very conscious of my budget.
Yeah.
And just to explain, this is sort of my train of thought, the order these cars are coming in. So, it's like priorities. So, it's not, there's no sort of logical order. It's not most expensive to least or anything. It's just the order that I really, really wanted them in.
Yes.
So, I've actually gone for, I was tempted to go for like a GT3 or a GT3 RS because I sort of thought, oh, you know, I could go and drive it on the racetrack and do all that stuff. And I think that would be great if that was your only car, but this is one of a garage.
Yes.
Wow. And so, I've tailed myself back a bit and I've been a bit more restrained. I've gone for the new GTS.
Oh,
Carrera.
Nice.
Rear wheel drive, not four wheel drive.
Okay. No.
And that's kind of a halfway house between a Carrera S and a GT3. So it's got all the comforts of the road going Carrera S, but it's got some of the aspects of a GT3. So it's supposed to be, this whole GTS brand for Porsche is supposed to be cars that are equally good as road cars and on the track. Mm. You know, you could take them on the track if you felt like it. So it's got the 3.8 litre six, it's 316 kilowatts, so it's got more power than a Carrera S.
But it's half your money.
It's not completely nuts, yes. 0 to 100 4 seconds.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So compared with a standard Carrera S, it's got the wide body. So it's not four-wheel drive, and it's not the turbo, but it's got the wide body.
Wow.
It's got stuff like dynamic engine mounts, which some high-performance Porsches have. So when you're driving gently, the engine is sort of on softer mounts, and when you drive hard or on a racetrack, they lock shut.
Right.
So the engine gets, it's basically like a race car. The engine's locked to the body, and it makes it a bit more rigid. Some of the Caymans have it as well. Locking diff, torque vectoring, all that biz. So fantastic car. That's $248,800.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. I could tell you spent probably about 2 hours on the car configurator on the Porsche website, didn't you?
No, I didn't, because that's just standard.
That's standard, is it? Yeah. You didn't get any cool paint?
No, there's no cool paint. No. Well, the paint that's on it's probably pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
So that's one thing.
So you can do a double garage here. Your $500,000 could feasibly be a double garage, but we'll wait and see.
It could be, but it's not.
No.
Because
Fiat's are expensive, so.
Do you remember that bit where I said I'd walk out? So, I haven't deliberately gone from one extreme to the other, but this is just my next most desirable car. I do like Fiats. I've owned several, and I like funny little Fiats, and I like funny little cars with funny engines, and I'd really like a Fiat Panda. So, the Fiat Panda I want is the Twin Air. It's a two-cylinder, 875cc car. It's $49.90, which I think is a bargain.
it is a very cool little car.
That's what it costs to service the Porsche.
Possibly. Wow. I just love them, and I think it would be great to have something, not that you didn't care about, but something that you could just drive into the city, park anywhere, not worry about it.
You'd take the wheel covers off before you actually went anywhere.
And, yeah, you would. You'd just leave them and off. And if I could get it in brown, that would be great.
Cool on the steel wheels.
Retro brown on steel wheels.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think I would probably love it as much as anything that I had, but it would be an
faithful
appliance.
Puppy.
Plus the advantage you could drive it like an absolute maniac, thrashing the hell out of it everywhere, and you're still not breaking the speed limit.
That's right. And they are great fun. I mean, it's, you know, compared with, you know, your regular small car like a Toyota Yaris, is just something to get you from A to B.
Yeah.
A Panda Twin Air, it's just great fun whenever you're driving it. It goes pop, 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 and, you know, it's, you put your foot flat to the floor and you're barely moving, and they're just great. I like the way they look, too.
Plus being Italian, you don't know what it's going to do next.
That's right.
So there's always that.
The only proviso is, I think most of the ones that are on sale in New Zealand are automatic, or rather dual logic, which is sort of a single clutch robotizer manual, which...
It's actually fun. I never thought of that before, but dual logic is actually a complete opposite of how that operates, isn't it? It's a single clutch with no logic whatsoever.
So it does have a comedy transmission. I wouldn't mind that, but I would prefer the manual, I think. Yeah. So I'd probably do a special order manual. So that's my town car. Now, I do quite fancy the odd foray onto the racetrack. I know I'm not very good on a racetrack, which is why I didn't buy a 911 GT3 because I don't want to make a fool
of
myself.
You've got a certificate to prove you could drive.
Yes, I have got a certificate to prove I did drive one around a track. There was no mention of my skill level. What I was looking for was a car that you could take to track days and maybe learn a bit about track driving, something to sort of improve your track craft. So it needs to be something that's great to drive, that's capable on the track, but not too fast. Because I think that's how you really learn to drive around a track, by driving something that's not too fast and just getting the
technique. I think I know where he's going with this too.
So the obvious choice, also a fun car to drive on the road, is a Toyota 86 RC.
Yeah.
So the RC is sort of the stripped out racer version that they sell.
Damn, what didn't I think of that?
No.
I've got garage envy now.
We've all got Toyotas.
We might make fun of them, but
the RC really is stripped out. It's got no radio. It's got no air conditioning. It actually comes with black. If you buy a white one, it's just got black bumpers. Yeah.
just
and I would love it exactly like that, because I think they're fantastic. Yeah. In fact, I saw one on the yard up at a Toyota yard in Albany yesterday, just sitting there, and I thought, that's so cool.
After I'd chosen it. What's that price? Did you notice the price?
I didn't see the price on the car.
Because what do they start at?
They start at $33,986.
Yeah, of course.
They all always end in 86. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's ridiculously cheap for a very, very fun car.
It is. I did sort of almost look at the Toyota Racing one, you know, the one that they race in the race series.
Oh, yeah.
But that's another step on again. Yeah. And I think this would actually be a great way to just learn a little bit about driving around racetracks. And if I got, you know, reasonably good at it, I could always take the Porsche out occasionally.
Trailer the 86 to the racetrack with a Porsche.
Now, the next bit is where I hurriedly scribbled out a whole lot of things. I got back from an appointment this morning a little bit early, and I had an hour. Idle hands are the devil's work. I had an hour on my time, and I had two cars here. I need a family car. I need something sort of relatively sensible. And I also wanted something...
You haven't approached relatively sensible so far, so carry on.
And I also wanted something with a bit of utility, like a ute or something you could chuck bikes in the back of, or, you know, shift house with, or just treat like a mobile sort of, you know, like a wheelbarrow, basically. Mm. Yeah. And I had a really expensive German SUV.
Yeah.
And a really cheap Chinese ute.
Okay.
And I was relatively happy with those. I'll tell you what they are.
This is what you had.
This is what I had. So this is not my choice. No. So don't write them down. X5 M50D.
Yeah.
Which is $175,000.
Yeah.
But a car I really love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had a 2013 Photon Tunland ute.
Oh.
Because I thought, if you're going to have a ute, you're not going to want to care about it.
No, but you don't want to drive everywhere feeling like the gearbox has been thrashed to death, though. I mean, it's
no, I wouldn't. I would actually. I like the idea of just having something I just could not care less about.
Yeah.
And I also like the idea of owning a Chinese car.
Yeah.
And also, by taking a 2013 one, that oddly carcinogenic smell that all Chinese cars have would have gone.
You've read my mind. That's why I chose a second-hand one.
You could. It's been a great strap line for that, Brad, wouldn't it? You really won't care about it.
But then I thought about the family car that I really wanted.
Is it squarish British? No.
There are two things that don't appeal to me. What did you have in mind?
I was thinking Discovery, Land Rover Discovery.
Nice choice, actually. Discovery.
It's kind of utilitarian, but cool.
It's a car you've already mentioned, this podcast, actually, the Skoda Octavia Scout.
So
I'd have an Octavia Scout diesel, because I think they're great, and the diesel one's got the RS diesel engine in it.
Yep. Yes.
It's actually faster than an RS.
Yes.
Four-wheel drive.
It can actually get off the line.
So they are awesome. $49,990 I think would be a great family car. Unpretentious, good to drive.
Yep.
Just nice all round thing. And then I went off on a bit of a tangent and indulged a little fantasy I have about rotary cars.
Oh, right.
And I just thought, actually, what I really wanted was an RX-8 anniversary one.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic car.
And I'm not really a rotor head, but I've driven a lot of RX-8s and I love them. Rotaries are just so interesting. So I went looking for an RX-8, couldn't find an anniversary one, and probably just as well because I wouldn't have had the budget for it. But I did find a 2010 RX-8 with 20,000 kilometres on it.
Wow.
New Zealand new.
20,000, wow.
Yeah, 20,000. New Zealand new, and very low key and grey.
Yeah.
Unmolested, original wheels.
Yeah.
Beautiful. How much? Let's guess. How much?
Hang on. So 20,000 Ks, 2000 what? 10?
2010, 5 years old.
23,000.
Pretty good. 25.
Right.
So $25,000 for that, which I was was quite pleased with, so I added that to my garage. Now, oddly, I've ended up with two Mazdas because I thought I'd really like a ute.
Yep.
And I thought a lot about utes. There's a lot of really great utes out there. None of them really grab me. But what I do like is the Mazda BT50.
Yeah.
And I would like one of the current ones before they fix the styling. Because there's a facelifted one coming out.
What's wrong with the styling?
There's a facelifted one coming out, and they're going to straighten out the styling and make it look a bit more truck-like.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Because the current one's been a bit of a failure, really. Mm. Nobody likes it, because ute buyers like them to look like trucks.
Yeah.
Like funny road cars.
Yeah.
But I really like it. I do think it's the best ute out there in terms of driving dynamics and equipment and quality and everything. And it's just a vehicle I quite like in a perverse way, and I think I would like one of these ones because it's sort of a failed experiment, wasn't it?
I think, you know, the thing it taught ute manufacturers everywhere, that if your vehicle is smiling, it's probably not a good thing. It's not going to appeal to the wider market.
It needs to be growling.
Or the dreadful taillights as well.
Yeah, they're off.
I remember when they launched it, they proudly proclaimed that it was the only ute on the market that had horizontal taillights.
Yeah.
And they look hideous.
There's a very good reason for that.
Yeah, most of them would be smashed.
No. But they are fantastic to drive. Same underneath as the Ford Ranger, obviously.
And
better equipment, and I think it's got a nicer interior than the Ford Ranger. It's a bit more car-like.
Would you go for that special edition? What was that?
Hirashi. No, hideous. plus, it's not in the budget. I thought I'd get a four-wheel drive one.
Yeah.
I probably would never use the four-wheel drive, but I think if you've got a ute, it's nice to know that you could if you wanted to.
Yep.
And I've just gone for the GLX, so the base one. So base four-wheel drive, that's $52,990.
Oh, so what does that sort of add up to-ish?
Hey, I'm not finished.
Oh, wow. It's still going.
We are still going.
Wow.
I'll tell you a secret. I went for the limited, but then I had to downgrade because I wanted something else. It's
can't be a big car if you only... I mean, we're talking a few thousand bucks.
Mm. No, we're not. Unless my math has gone terribly wrong. It's the death of the Aussie V8.
Oh.
And the best Aussie V8, not the best sounding, but the best Aussie V8 is the Commodore SS Redline. So that's what I've chosen for my last car.
Very nice.
It's, and I'm not a big sort of Aussie car V8 guy, but I think if you're going to get one, now's the time to buy one.
Absolutely.
The Redline is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Great package.
Quite a good family car as well, to be honest.
Yeah. If you had a few thousand left over, you could stick a decent exhaust on it and make it sound good.
That's what I was going to say. The only thing it's missing is a decent rumble, and you could fix that pretty easily. So that's my garage.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's very good. How many cars in total was that?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Wow.
Yes.
Good stuff.
You did well.
I don't know if that adds up. I'm going to have to add that up while Damien's talking.
Interact with me, Damien.
He's
got to get his calculator out. Why didn't you do that beforehand?
I did. I added it up as I was doing it.
You've changed it
around. I've changed it so many times.
Okay, well, I'll start.
You carry on, Damien, and I'll report
you add up. Yes, we'll see if you have to drop anything out. My first one was actually probably my most sensible car, and it's not actually a sensible car in the slightest. It is, of course, the BMW M3.
Oh, right.
I went for the M3 because it was the sedan.
Practical.
You know, that's 317 kilowatts, 550 newton meters. That's plenty of performance. Great car. That could possibly be interchangeable with the C63S, though, because I do...
Sedan or estate?
Oh, well, estate, but then I didn't realise that may throw out my calculations.
Oh, I see.
But it would be the estate if I...
Yeah.
If I...
Sensational.
You can't change your mind halfway through.
No, this is interchangeable because
you've got to look over my fence and be envious of my Mercedes.
Exactly. I do love the last C63, but I haven't driven the current one. I'm assuming it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But then I know that the M3 is awesome, so I've gone for that for now. And the reason it's interchangeable is that my next car, I found prices for it, but I don't necessarily believe it need to be that expensive. It's not available in the New Zealand market.
The challenge is not what you believe a car should cost.
I believe I could get it cheaper than these people.
It's a Beecham Jaguar.
No, it's along the lines of what you chose, a Dodge Challenger, but the Hellcat.
Oh, okay.
I have seen a bunch. It sells for $61,000 US,
which
is around 81,000 New Zealand. There's about four or five of them on Trade Me from one dealer for $140,000 each.
Wow, so if you imported that yourself, if the Kiwi dollar the way it is now, would probably...
don't believe $140,000.
This sounds like a lot of speculation.
That's right, I have accepted $140,000 as the price
that
I'm going with.
Do carry on.
If it turned out cheaper, then I'd probably go for the AMG wagon.
Right.
So there you go. That's where the movement is.
Okay.
But the Hellcat is insane. I mean, it's 527 kilowatts, 880 newton meters, and I, not wanting to give anything away, but I drove it in the States a while ago, and it was just absolutely pissing down with rain, and it was terrifying. Yet it was still
when I worked. Oh, what a great car!
When I finally worked up the nerve to actually give it a
boot.
Yep. 4 hours after sitting in the driver's seat, I started it. No, when I felt it, give it a big bootful on the rain, it slithers sideways about 100 miles an hour on the freeway.
Yeah,
but it was just so controllable.
Right.
Just brilliantly. I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. So that I would, don't believe it's worth $140,000, but we'll go with $140,000. My next car, fire up the Quattro.
Oh, see, I resisted that because I've been immersed in watching Ashes to Ashes, and I thought, no, if I choose that, I'm just being tragic.
I had to, because I saw one on Trade Me in New Zealand.
Yeah.
87, white, 130,000
Ks. Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
It was only up to $10,000, but it wouldn't go for that much. No. It hadn't met reserve.
No.
Bit of looking on the interweb, on eBay, they seem to be going in UK for... Well, they seem to be asking about £25,000 to £30,000 for them.
Yeah,
that was that more 60, like 70 grand?
Yeah, I sort of allowed 50 to 60. Okay, yeah. And that's the flexibility of the Hellcat. I don't believe it's in there, so I'm not being exact here. So that was my next choice.
Very nice.
And I see the auction's been withdrawn since I made that decision. So it either sold or it didn't sell. Or
I think before you get too far through your list, the big question is, what kind of Toyota have you chosen?
We're getting there. There is actually a Toyota on
the
list.
That's interesting, isn't it? This looks like the fantasy garage game we've all chosen.
Toyotas. Wow. It's slightly worrying. But anyway, this Quattro didn't include the personalised plates that were in the photos.
Good.
Which, no, I would actually negotiate for because the plates were bell-end.
Well, you can have that on a...
No.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that on a Reps Mondeo. I mean...
We're not personalised plates fans. They're far too easy for some of the track you down to when you cut them off on the road.
Plus you're in that white Quattro.
You're in that white Quattro. That's also quite obvious. Anyway, next vehicle. I too thought I like to go to the beach occasionally.
When?
Occasionally. And I also like to do it in a massive and unnecessary four-wheel drive. So I went for a Jeep Wrangler.
Excellent.
The unlimited five-door Rubicon model, which is $62,990. Didn't allow for accessories as you did, but would no doubt want to accessorise extensively. But anyway,
Understand why you chose that.
I think he's going to start talking about the time he went on the Rubicon Trail.
That's an awful vehicle.
I was. Yes, it's hideous on the road. It is absolutely appalling.
It's got
on the
nowhere
road.
To put your foot. I know that your other foot.
There's no footrest. You can't drive it at night because you can't see out of the windscreen because all the dash lights reflect on all the cars.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
You cut your hands on the plastic.
Yeah. But off-road, it's just the best thing ever, and it looks cool.
Yeah, I think it looks cool.
It does.
I still like the short wheelbase Wrangler.
I like the short wheelbase, the unlimited just appeals to me.
Plus, people will come up to you and say, where do I get the energy drink?
Yeah, exactly.
What radio station are you with?
Must be other off-road vehicles that are just as capable.
Yeah, we just covered it. It's called a Land Cruiser 70 Series.
I had actually forgotten about the Land Cruiser 70 Series, and as soon as you said that, my heart sank. That's actually a much better car.
You are going to be leaning over my fence and looking at my garage. Aren't you?
Well, what? 63 grand.
Mine's 82 off the lot.
But I would be able to pick up a 70 Series for around 60 odd.
Oh yes, you can pick up like a farm spec type one for less than that.
Yeah, the wagon's cool though.
Wagon,
yeah.
Anyway,
just adds a bit.
We are getting sidetracked.
Sorry, that was my fault.
No, yeah. Well, and the last one, I was uncertain. There was uncertainty.
We know it's a Toyota.
Did I? Well, it almost wasn't. Did I want an electric car?
Oh,
Yeah, I thought about that.
I sort of started looking at electric or plug-ins. BMW i3 for $83,000 or Audi Audi A3 e-tron.
Yeah,
for
e-tron's pretty
grand.
Cool. Yeah.
Then I decided, no, girls' cars. I don't want an electric car. So I went for an Abarth 500 SS for $42,990.
Oh, cool.
Right, and where do you plug that in?
Into your soul.
Absolutely. Into your chiropractor's bank account because it wrecks your back, but it's massive fun.
That would cool be my that would be my second choice Fiat after the Panda.
Fiat sublist. Appendix B.
$42,990. And then, of course, a Toyota 86 I decided on as well.
Oh, you got room for one of those as well?
Yep, you can buy the...
So you're getting the auto with the Euro kit?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was going to get the absolute, the RC, the 30 gram one, but I thought I like air conditioning too much and I like stereos. So I went for just the 86, the plain 86, the for plain 42, $42,586.
Yeah.
And I decided that, the Abarth 500 and the Toyota 86 are just way much more fun than having an electric car for the same price. So
I agree.
And that comes to, I believe, $499, $446
Wow. Well done.
You've done very well, and I have to report back on my previous maths. It's not too bad. I'm $246 over. Well, I got excited.
I could loan you that.
Thank you.
Coming under $500.
Or I could apply your model. I don't believe that those cars would cost that much, and I could get a small discount.
we are all buying Toyotas at list price.
Okay,
which
there's a good discount.
Never
there.
Happened.
That's true. So. Good point. Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Or if we went in and bought all three together, I think we could get a substantial discount.
Yes. Absolutely. Good point.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, that was fun, and I did get a little bit lost because I've driven most of the car. Well, all of the cars that I'm choosing, I did get a little bit lost in my own little world, and I thought for a moment that I was actually getting them because I could imagine having them because I'd driven them all, and I had to remind myself a couple of times that I wasn't actually going to buy these.
I had to cancel a deposit I didn't put down on one of them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's probably enough nonsense for one week, isn't it?
So, if anyone listening to this thinks they can do better, go for it.
Absolutely.
Visit the Facebook page, put it on the Facebook page,
and we'll see what you can come up with. Now, it'll be really embarrassing when no one does and everyone goes and looks at the Facebook page and there's nothing. We'll just pretend this didn't happen. Thank you for listening.
Or if they come up with an amazing list.
Yeah, but we're just ashamed.
Well,
we just won't put it on the Facebook page.
That's right.
Thank you for listening. And we shall talk to you again at the next episode, which will be the V8 episode.
Yay!
Yay, finally.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
The New Zealand Motoring Podcast, brought to you by podcasts.co.nz.